Amen. That was great. What a great song. Amen. Praise the Lord. It could happen in a moment. It's exciting, isn't it? Amen. You know, the devil thinks he's got things under control, but he doesn't. And you know, he doesn't care if it's Islam or if it's Catholicism. What, you know, it doesn't really matter to him. He just is after those who are preaching the gospel. That's all there is to it. It doesn't matter which enemy. It doesn't matter which persecutor, if you will. He has his agenda, and it's anything that is opposite of Jesus Christ. That's why in the last days there will be an anti-Christ. It is opposite of Christ. And, you know, that is so clear in the Scripture. And praise the Lord, it could happen anytime, His coming and the rapture of the church. And praise the Lord, I'm excited. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, in light of that, I don't know how many recently have come. And Pastor, I have got a huge problem. This is a huge problem. Teenager, not too long ago, just, preacher, I've got this huge problem. And just recently I was saying, boy, I've got a giant problem. And I got to thinking about all these huge problems. In fact, this room is full of people that have some huge problems. Issues. I mean, some giant problems. And so I thought, well, we'll go figure out about Goliath and one of the most familiar stories in all the Bible. But I want to preach to you about when giants call, then giants fall. And Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching, that you'll speak to our hearts. You'll give us what we need tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a huge problem tonight. You do. You said you did. There are several of you here that, boy, preacher, I've got this huge problem. I have this big situation. That's exactly what happened to the children of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together of Shuco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shuco and Azekah in Ephesdemim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. This guy's huge. And everybody knows the story. We all know about David and Goliath. And here's Goliath. And the thing I call your attention to is this giant calls them out. This giant says, I challenge you. The Bible says he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. I mean, an average man couldn't carry his coat. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders. I mean, this is a soldier. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and he calls them out. And he said to them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Who do you think you are? You're going to fight us? He said, am not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Let just one of you, Israelites, you say God is your God, come and fight me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. I can just hear him say that with a sneer and a mocking. Yeah, I mean, if one of you guys could whip me, if they could kill me, we'll be your servants. He's not even worried about it. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Why? Because it was a huge problem. It was a giant headache. I mean, it was such a big problem. They were dismayed. They scratched their head. What are we going to do? And they were afraid. They trembled because this was such a big problem. And I talked to people tonight who, you're being called out by a giant problem. You're being called out by something huge. It's much bigger than you. I'm thinking of myself, and I've got some pretty big situations to deal with. They're huge. And they're certainly bigger than anything I can figure out. I can scratch my head and say, man, I just don't know exactly what to do about this. And there's folks all over this room just like that. Okay, we're being called out. And literally, the giant problem, the giant thing, the problem, the issue that is calling us out and say, hey, come on, Christian. Come on, Christian, what are you going to do about it? Hey, what are you going to, put up or shut up? Okay? You talk that God's God. You talk how big He is. You talk how strong He is. Well, come on then, says the giant. And I submit to you something for every Christian here tonight. When giants call, then giants fall. It's just up to us to get in the battle. That's really all it takes. I mean, this battle, and I've preached all around this thing, preached through this thing, talked about it all the time. I mean, these armies are pitched against each other. They're growling at each other. They're ready to fight the battle. I mean, they have armor. They have swords, spears. They're ready to go. The battle is in array, the Bible said. They're set. They're in their formation. All they have to do is fight. And Goliath comes down and says, hey, whoa. Just one of you, anyone, I don't care who it is, you come fight me and we'll just save a whole lot of trouble here. They're supposed to be fighting. They're supposed to be in the battle. See, our problem as Christians today is nobody wants to be in the battle. I mean, we'd rather just kind of growl at each other. Amen? We'd rather, hey, I'll be honest with you folks, burning a Quran is not what our Bible says we're supposed to be doing. I'm not mad at the guy. If they want to do that, that's fine. But that's not what our Bible says. Where you say, but I'm for them. Look, I'm not for the Quran. I'm not for Islam. I'm not for anything that is against Jesus Christ. I'm not for those things. I'm just saying that's not our battle. That isn't even going to win the battle for us. Hello. But the truth of the matter is we like to growl. We like to be, again, go back to it, verse 2, it says, they set the battle in array against the Philistines, but notice what it says, they pitched by the valley of Elah. One's on one mountain, the other army's on the other mountain, there's a valley between them, and as long as that valley's there, they just growl at each other. As long as that valley's there, hey, nobody has to get hurt. We have a valley there. What are you supposed to do? We're supposed to be fighting this battle. And so the giant calls them out. And you know what? Here's what bothers us about our problems that we have. We like to be comfortable. Amen. Right? You'd rather be comfortable? Me too. Do you know on my mountain over here, I've got my tent back here. I've got my mess kit. Remember Boy Scouts and you had a mess kit? Amen. And you had cans of Spam. Come on, how many of you remember Spam? Oh, what an awesome thing. That's why I was in Boy Scouts, was for Spam. And Spam and eggs. I mean, it's just hard to beat that. It really is. But I have my mess kit back here. I've got my canteen. I've got a nice little campfire back here. I have everything, all the luxuries of my tent. Amen. Well, the valley, that's going to be a bloodbath out there in that valley. Back here though, on my mountain, this is all right. And everybody just kind of stays back on the mountain and says, hey, we don't like you. And they're over here and they say, we don't like you either. And then that's pretty much all we do. And you know, as long as everybody does that, nobody gets hurt, right? But we're supposed to fight about a battle. There's a battle supposed to be fought. And what we really get offended about is when we get called out. Hey, leave your tent and fight me. Leave my tent? Hey, he's talking to you. Leave my tent? Yeah. Get in the battle. What are you going to do? You know what's amazing about our big problems? We pray when we don't before. We read our Bible because we got to have an answer. Amen? Isn't it amazing when we get called out? We have to figure out what we're going to do. No longer can I just stay up here on my mountain with my tent and my campfire and my mess kit and my Spam and eggs. I've got to go get dirty. I got to figure out something here. And we got called out. But I submit to you, when giants call, then giants fall. For God's people. For God's people. Have you ever, you know, I've read this many times. Have you ever thought about the idea that if God's people had all just gone and fought the battle in the first place, we wouldn't even have the story about Goliath? He'd just been one of the bad guys. Amen. I mean, if everybody's, look, if we're not up on our mountain yelling at them, your mother wears army boots. Oh, yeah. Well, that's always a good answer. But if we're charging and attacking, we don't ever hear what Goliath has to say. We're just fighting. It's just all part of the battle. But then you get called out. And now you have to do something. Now something has to happen. You know, I believe with all my heart, there's people here that are literally being called out by Satan and a giant problem and a seriously huge issue in your life. And you're being called out. Hey, is it true or not? Is the book true? I mean, is it real or not? You know, hey, on the mountain, we can preach and yell and scream and holler. In fact, over on our mountain over here, valley's out here, we're up on our mountain, we can have a revival service over here and have a great time. We really can. Play all the music, sing Amazing Grace, sing Victory in Jesus, and we're supposed to be fighting a battle out here, but boy, it's so much more comfortable over here. But there's a battle over here we're supposed to be fighting. Then the giant calls us out and we get very uncomfortable. There's folks all over this room, you're uncomfortable tonight because you have a giant problem. And the truth of the matter is, you'd rather be up here at your campsite. I know exactly what you mean. And we'd much rather be in our campsite, but God told us we're more than conquerors. Get in the battle. Get in the battle. And some folks are, you know, the Goliath of sin or trials or sorrow or discouragement or pain or something like that. I mean, listen, when we're up here just sitting here waiting, we're not really expecting any kind of victory. We just kind of like existence. My Bible doesn't say we're supposed to exist till Jesus comes. We're supposed to be more than conquerors. Gates of hell shall not prevail. But you know what? As long as we're over here on our little mountain, and there's a valley between us and the enemy, the gates don't have anything to worry about. Amen. But boy, when giants call, now something's got to happen. I submit to you again, when giants call, then giants fall. They can. They should. Let me show you three things and we'll be done. Number one is David's cause. David's cause. You've heard it before. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because we talk about it often. But I mean, the giant calls out and says, hey, come on, Christian, what are you made out of? What, is it real? Is it true? Is God really God? You know, the giant said, give me a man that we may fight together. I defy the armies of Israel. I defy your God. Hey, what are you and I going to do about that? Well, David's cause is the answer. David said in verse 29, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I mean, remember, David's new on the scene here. David just arrives and he's shocked when he hears Goliath yelling and defying the God of Israel. He can't believe it. Here's what he can't believe. Not that Goliath is doing it. He just can't believe that his brothers and the other soldiers and especially his king didn't do anything about it. David can't believe it. You know, he's young. He just doesn't know. Yeah, he hasn't figured out yet it's easier to eat spam and eggs back at the campsite. Here's his cause. First of all, the reproach of Israel. Here's why David says, listen, somebody's got it. Is there not a cause? The reproach of Israel. There's a cause. Verse 26, he can't believe it. He said, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? The reproach, he says, somebody's got to do something. He's embarrassed. Because it is embarrassing when you get called out. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's a reproach to God Almighty. I mean, the only way to take away the reproach, he's going to keep yapping till somebody shuts him up. All right? And soldier after soldier after soldier says, you know, my nose is running. I have something, you know, I don't think I can. Yeah, you know, I sprained my ankle a while ago playing football. One excuse after the other, nobody's going to go fight Goliath. David says, whoa, he is not going to shut up. Do you understand? The devil is not going to shut up until you say, okay, problem. Okay, giant. Okay, a temptation, trial. Okay, sorrow. We're fighting. I'm gonna get victory over this thing. Okay, temptation that I keep giving in. Hey, get victory over the thing. It is a reproach, David said. Is there not a cause? The reproach of Israel. Here's the cause. Reward of the victor. Do you understand? In a battle, there's always a winner and a loser. Amen. I mean, it's just like sports. I mean, you have a winner, you have a loser. Somebody wins, somebody loses. You say, oh, it's so exciting for the winners. Yeah, but go look at the other bench. I mean, the reward of the victor. Verse 9, here's what Goliath says. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, we'll be your servants. If I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. I mean, David said, hey, this is a great deal. You can't beat this deal. And Saul says, yeah, right. Sure. Reward of the victor. Well, preacher, you know, I don't know. Yeah, do you want to win this thing or not? You know, hey, the giant called you out. What are you going to do? Well, I'm not real excited. There's a reward to be won here. Huh? Victory over the giant brings freedom from the giant. Amen? There's folks in this room, you have a giant habit, problem in your life. It's huge in your life. Okay, do you understand? If you get victory over that thing, you're free. You are free. Yes, David says there's a cause, a reproach of Israel, the reward of the victor, verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. They said, David, David, wow, what a deal. Oh, but see, David still hasn't experienced the hammock in the campsite. Amen. Yeah, you know, he still hasn't experienced what it's like just to sit and watch or to growl at each other across the valley. David's one of these people that just really believes God. He's one of these people that really believes that first of all, there is a reproach on Israel when God's name is being challenged. Amen. And he also is one who happens to believe that God will reward those who serve him and who get into battle for him, amen, that God will reward them and that God will take care of them. And, I mean, you get freedom from the giant, but you also get rewarded from the Lord. That's a great deal. Amen. That's a great deal. You sit here tonight, you say, yeah, but you don't understand. My problem's huge. It's financial. You know, God is still God. Is there not a cause? I mean, haven't you told everybody at work about your Savior? You don't understand, preacher. My problem is it's a health issue. Yeah, but haven't you told everybody in your family about the Lord? Boy, time after time after time, down in Bible college, we had, I mean, you talk about financial problems. They went beyond problems with us. It was huge. I mean, it was gigantic. You talk about Goliath every time the bill was due. He called me out. Hey, what are you going to do about it? But I had an unsaved family. And I sure wasn't going to gripe and complain to them. And I sure wasn't going to whine to them either. Hello? I mean, you talk about getting out of comfort zone. Hey, pray for our kids in college. Are you listening? Pray for our kids in college. Oh, you know, that's just, boy, it's just such an easy, it's not an easy thing. It's a tough thing. Pray for them. Because they're going to get called out by the giant. And they're going to get called out a lot of times. Hey, do you really believe all this stuff? You've heard it all your life. Do you really believe it. My question tonight to you is, do you really believe it? If you really believe it, you'll understand God's name should never be reproached. And if you really believe it, you'll understand there is a reward. God rewards His people. But then the third thing I see under David's cause is this, reproof of the cowards. Because there's a bunch of cowards standing around who are doing absolutely nothing, who refuse to fight. Verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Yeah, Eliab, right. You know, by standing, David embarrassed his brother who was a coward. I guess, Eliab, you must be saying you're willing to be beaten. Is that it? Is that why you won't go fight? I guess you're saying you're willing to just stay on your mountain over here and let this guy curse our God. I guess, Christian, what you're saying by not getting into battle, I guess what you're saying is that you're willing to just let the devil call you out. You're willing to just give in. I give up. I quit. Christians all over the country are quitting because they found out there's a target on them. And the devil has dart throwers and arrow shooters, and they're fiery. You say, "Well, but I've been called out, and I just don't know if I can." We are more than conquerors. I can do all things through Christ. Do not get out your white flag. I know we're uncomfortable. We sit on the sideline for so long. But reproving the cowards, David thought, I guarantee he's thinking, "Man, these people need to understand God is God." And then the reasoning of David. Verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." David who is not a soldier. David who's a shepherd. "Let no man's heart fail because of him." I just see David. Yes. He can't believe that nobody's fighting. He has to be wondering what in the world's wrong with everybody. Well, hey, King, listen, don't worry about it. Don't let anybody lose any more sleep over this, okay? Y'all go back and eat your spam and eggs. I got this thing under control, okay? He says, "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." He said, I'm going to fight this battle. You know what? I like it when somebody comes and, "Pastor, I got this big problem. Help me. Help me win. Help me get a victory." You know what so many are doing nowadays? They're having these big problems and they're saying, "Okay, I quit." They just give up. Financial problem? Well, we'll just take the kids out of the Christian school. You know? Health problem? Well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've trusted God. Now I'm mad at Him. He didn't heal me. David, you know, his reasoning. The reasoning of David was this. The servant obeys his master. King, you want me to go fight him? I'll fight him. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I promise you, people were saying, "David, you're crazy, stupid, nuts." That's what they were doing. But I guess with him, the cause overcame the fear. In fact, you see nothing of fear with David at all during this whole time. I can't, you know, I can't imagine him not being just a little apprehensive. But he seems very sure, and we'll get to that in the next point. But David, the cause, the reproach of Israel, the reward of the victor, the reproof of the cowards, and then the reasoning of David that, hey, I'm just a servant. His cause. I think of some crazy things that I've done for a cause. I remember my first year coaching basketball years and years and years, many, many years ago. I was young. And we had our basketball team, and for some reason these guys they got excited about soul winning, and they said, Pastor, I wasn't the pastor then. They said, I think I was Mr. Rogers. Won't you be my neighbor? And but they said, hey, they said we got some neighbor kids that they want to play some football. How about if we play them in football, and afterwards we'll talk to them about the Lord? I said, man, that's a great idea. And you know, I thought, well, this can't be that bad. Well, this was in Bucktown. If you know anything about Marion, Indiana, which none of you do, so it's whatever I say it is. But Bucktown was actually a lot of my friends when back in my heathen days were all from Bucktown, and we had I'd hung out with a lot of them then. But now I'm a Christian. I've got all my Christian friends and all these Christian boys that I'm coaching for our basketball team, and so they get these guys together from Bucktown. And in fact, when we got the guys together from Bucktown, several years before that, we played the game. We called it the Chili Bowl. If that gives you any ideas of anything. But so we got this game together, and we're going to talk to them about the Lord. And I'm excited. These guys are all excited. We're going to lead these guys to the Lord. And after a nice, friendly game of football, well, if you've ever played football in a lot, usually it's not friendly. And you know, we were the Christians and they were the Lions, and anyway, but it was exciting, and we started playing. But these guys are tackling hard, and so my center, who was at that time, that guy was about 6'1", he was playing quarterback, and I was trying to block for him, and he got tackled real hard, and I said, you know, we got to stop this. Okay, this guy's going to get hurt. He's my center. I always am out to protect my basketball players, and that's why we're canceling soccer. No, just kidding. But this guy, so I told him, I said, okay, you're done. Okay, well, so then I said, I'll be the quarterback. So I'm the quarterback now, and these guys, you know, these guys are they're 17, 18 years old at that time. I think I was 19 maybe, and some of them were about my age. And anyway, we're playing this, and so now my point guard is carrying the ball, and they kill him. And I said, wait. We can't do this because it's my point guard and I don't want him to get hurt. And we got to lead him to the Lord, so we're going to keep playing the game. And so we kept playing the game. I said, okay, you're not getting the ball anymore. All right? So my wide receiver, he is also my best forward on my basketball team. He's got the best shot of anybody on the team. And now he's catching the ball. I'm making beautiful pinpoint passes. And he's catching the ball, but now they're killing him. You say, preacher, what are you going to do about that? You know what? Seriously, this is what I did about that. I was a quarterback. I carried the ball every time and absolutely got killed. But I'm the coach. It didn't matter if I got hurt. Now, I said all that to say, after the game, I said, fellas, we need to talk to you. I said, I could barely talk because I was wounded so bad. But fellas, and we got to talk to him about the Lord. Now, nobody got saved, but the cause was big. It was big. And you know, you don't fear as much when you have a cause. You know what's happened to a lot of Christians? We've forgotten the cause. And we get nervous about all this stuff out here. And again, you know, we have this idea, I'm glad our preacher didn't burn Korans. You know, I'm so glad he, because then they put a target on each of us and everything. Listen, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Number one, we're not burning any Korans because there's no reason. There's no purpose in that. Amen. Number two, he's God. Amen. I'm not trying to, but I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you what would get Islam just as mad as burning Korans. That's winning souls. The devil hates it. The devil hates it. Hey, you've gotten used to being over here and the enemy's over here and there's a big valley in between. Listen to me. When you get called out by the giant, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? David's cause. He said, I have a cause. I'm going to fight. That's what I'm going to do. Number two is David's confidence. He didn't quit. He was confident about this thing. his confidence. You know, verse 33, we see the rejection of Saul. Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." I mean, he looks at David. David's not a big guy. He says, "Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." He said, this giant has been trained to fight. David, you're just a kid. Many will tell you, you're not able. Many Christians will tell you, "Hey, whoa, you're not able." 1 Corinthians 1, look at it real quick. I always make reference to it. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." Amen and amen to that. "And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." In my mind, I see David carrying Goliath's head later on, and it's kind of tough. Not that there were a lot of brains in it. I mean, it's big. It's a big head. Oh, it's big. And David, David's not, "Look at me." You know, that's not, no, it's, David's not going to, "Look what I've done. I'm a big guy." That's not what he's going to do. Huh? God looks at David and he says, "You know what? I like that guy. When the giant calls, the giant falls." You see it over and over with David. Saul says, "Thou art not able." A lot of people are going to tell you, "You're not able." You are able. Amen. You stand up and you answer the call. Amen. Of the giant. Amen. Don't give up. Saul was, here's what Saul was afraid of. He was afraid of man. Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Amen. You say, "Preacher, I got a giant problem." Okay, there's a cause. Win. Tackle it. Fight it. Win it. Win the battle. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't listen. People tell you can't do it. You can do it. Your college student calls you and says, "I can't. You just say, hey, you can do it. You can do it." Young person in school, "English is just too..." No, you can do it. You stick with it. Talking to a young person the other day, he said, "This schoolwork's tough." I said, "Yeah, but you can do it." And here's the clincher right here. God call you to do it? Yes, then you can. You can. "I don't know if I'm going to make good grades." You don't have to make good grades. You make your best grades. You do your very best. You're still better off than somebody sitting over here in camp eating Spam and eggs. Amen, me too. David's confidence. Here's his response to that, verse 34. And I love it. "David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him." You ought to underline that in your Bible. I went out after him. I went out after him. I went out after him. "I don't think I could smite a lion." Not sitting by the campfire telling stories. Not yelling at the lion. You don't smite at him. "I don't think I could whoop a bear." No, you'll never whoop a bear as long as you're laying in your sleeping bag. Reading the scrolls. He said, "I went out after him." Well, David, you know, just out of curiosity, what made you think you ought to go? Because he took a lamb out of my flock. That's why I went out after him. Amen. When's the last time you really got mad at the devil? Can I ask you that question? When is the last time you really got mad at the devil? When's the last time you got mad at the devil when he was messing with our lambs? Amen. Go hither, devil! That's not what he did. He said, I went after him. Run, lion! Yeah, the lion will run with the lamb. Amen. He said, I went out after him. And I smote him. And I delivered it out of his mouth. He pulls the lamb out of its mouth. Good noise. And when he arose against me, because he will, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Amen. That's pretty good stuff. He said, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. That's his response. He said, hey, the Lord helped me before, the Lord will help me again. Come on, folks, you think back. God's helped you before, too. It's before you learned about the tent on the mountain. It's before you found out a lot of Christians do that. And that's how they want it to be. Right? But we're not left behind to be cozy. We're not left behind to be comfortable. Huh? Come to our church and be comfortable. We hope you are comfortable sitting here, but we don't want your life to be comfortable. That's not why we're here. We're going to rest later. I like that song we sing on Wednesday nights because one of the shepherds always asks for, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes. I think it's called We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. That's a good song. Amen. Yeah, but I got my campfire. I know. That's it, you know, and there's a time and a place for campfires. But when the giant calls, what are you going to do about it? Huh? What are you going to do about the fact that we have a Tecumseh bus route and we need somebody, we need an adult to be in charge of it? What are you going to do about that? Huh? You know what Goliath does? The giant yells, "Hey, who's going to take over that? Who's going to do it? Who's going to be there every week? Who will do it?" Well, I've already served my term. Really? So you're in the casket? I know a lot of people say, well, you can't bring them from Tecumseh. You just can't do it. And you know what? They tell the Baileys all the time, you can't get kids to ride a bus anymore. It's funny, every week they do. Brother Binder says in 4th through 6th grade junior church, says they've outgrown the room. Those are all kids. And most of them ride buses. Yeah, they've outgrown that room. He said, we're going to need a bigger room. I said, well, you might be able to have the auditorium before long. I like David. You know, David just says, you know, God's done it before. And then the third thing we see under David's confidence is the release of Saul. Saul says, okay, go. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go. And the Lord be with thee. Isn't that good? The Lord be with thee, my son. Whatever that thing is. I mean, the Lord. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And then the fourth thing we see under David's confidence, and I love this, is the refusal of the armor. Hope you're catching all these R's because I'm impressed. Verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor. Can you see it? I mean, Saul is the center on the basketball team. David's the point guard. Okay? I mean, Saul is, what, maybe 6'6"? David's what, 5'10"? All you have to do is think about it. Saul armed David with his armor. Can you see the breastplate? He slips it on him and it touches the ground. Wow, this is great. It covers my legs too. This is great. Saul armed David with his armor and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Can you see that? You know, he puts it on and the top of it is supposed to be here and it's here. And David says, where, who turned off the lights? Huh? And the Bible says then, he says, said he armed him with a coat of mail. And he puts that on, and David, it's like, whoa. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. For he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He wasn't disrespectful to Saul. He didn't say, thou king, art thou nuts? Amen? He said, I haven't proved this armor. It had to be silly looking, to be honest with you. I mean, it had to be a sight as David starts to walk with his breastplate hanging and rubbing the ground. I mean, it had to be a sight. And yet, David says, I cannot go with these. I've not proved them. You say, why didn't David have his armor? He wasn't a soldier. This is so good. He said, I've not proved him. I want to use that which is proven. You know what was proven? Can you imagine him grabbing the lion's beard? I'll be honest with you, folks. I mean, I've had cats that I've watched them scratch and they can pretty well eliminate a whole hand. You know, I mean, they're fast. And everything just sort of falls off, you know. I mean, but a lion? And David grabbed, do you understand? David knew something. He knew this is God's work. These sheep are God's sheep. And God has allowed me to protect them. And when he grabs the beard of a lion, and I have no idea what he did to the bear. The bear. You ever really look at a bear? You ever had one stand up and look at you? I mean, I hear, one with a bear and your face is gone. I'm talking about rearranging everything. It's just gone. But David figured something out. He said, something happened when I grabbed that lion's beard. You know, something happened as I flung it to the ground. And it wasn't me. And he knew that. He said, I have armor that is proven. And it's him. Now, I got news for you, folks. You can conquer your giant, your problem, your need. That huge thing that is really bugging you because the devil's called you out. But you're not going to do it in your power. You need to use what's proven. Last thing, number three, is David's conquest. David's conquest. The Lord be with thee, Saul said. Oh, he will. First thing, the reality of the situation is the power of God. Verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. He was prepared. And he put him in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Notice he's going forward, amen. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine, he's absolutely insulted. Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now, David, you know, I mean, that's just going to make David matter. Amen. And it should. And it should make you matter. Huh? And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. I can just hear his voice booming out there in the valley. You say, where's everybody else? They're having s'mores.
Yeah, I want some.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Pay attention. Then said David to the Philistine, I love this, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that's exactly how David looked at it too. That is the reality of the situation. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. That's how David saw it. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's how it is with your battle too. Is God able or not? Hey, He got me through Bible college. I watched that. He allowed it with $10 bills every now and then. Amen? $10 bills every now and then. Bread in the back seat of the car every now and then. Groceries on the doorstep every now and then. Huh? But He did it. I look back today and say, wow. Wow. Look what God did. And then the giant goes, so? That was then. What are you going to do now? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to do the same thing. Because the same God is still God. The responsibility of David. And that is this. Use the power that God gives. And here's where a lot of people get wacky, and I'm just about done. Verse 48, it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran away. David smelled the s'mores cooking up on the hill, and he said, I'm going to go get that. David heard there was a good card game going on in the campsite, and he went back. No. Nope. You see, here's the responsibility that we have. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Charge! That's it. That's our responsibility. What are you going to do with your problem? Huh? You're going to let it keep bugging you? You're going to let it capture you? You're going to wave a white flag and surrender and quit? Huh? What are you going to do with the problem that is a giant in your life? I submit to you, when giants call, then giants fall. But you and I, we have to do what David did. What did he do? David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He had to get close enough, amen, to sling the stone. And here's action. He ran toward him. He put his hand in the bag. Verse 49, he took out a stone and he slang it. Now, Philistine helmet probably came down like this. The Bible says it sunk in his forehead. Pretty good shot, huh? Pretty good shot. It says the stone sunk into his forehead. Now, it sunk so far in his forehead, I'm going to have to assume it struck brain. The little pea brain that was in there. But it sunk. Now, I'm just submitting to you folks. When David slang the stone, God grabbed hold of it. And God, look, here's our problem. Okay? We're not, okay, we like this mountain over here. We don't want to go over and get down in that valley and fight. It's dirty. We want to stay over. But when the giant calls, you got to fight. And so, run toward the giant, pull out your stone, and slang it. Amen. There is a responsibility you have. Use the power God gives, and you'll win. Then we see the reviving of the army. They woke up. Giant falls. Bible says, he smote the Philistine, slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David. And therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword. That had to be a sight to see, too. Because the sword was as tall as David. And he drew it out of the sheath thereof. Amen. And he slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Why? Because they were over on their mountain over here having their little campfire, and they liked yelling and everything else, and they didn't want to get dirty either. But here's the exciting thing I see. The men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted. It's always so good that God's people shout every now and then. Honestly, sometimes I think it's a funeral home here. I can do as long as you. I can do it the whole service too. They shouted! Now they had to get up. But they shouted. And they pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wound of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shoreham, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. The children of Israel returned from chasing after the... Hey! They figured it out! We can win! Your victory will affect other people and help them win their victory. That's why men's prayer time is such a blessing, because we hear victories. Wednesday night testimony time is such a blessing because we hear about victories. Kathy, I don't know how many times you've given a testimony and you didn't think much of it, and you kind of felt bad and you said, oh, you know, I'm not saying this right, and I'm not. But see, I was standing up here and I was a guy that needed God to do something. And you gave your little testimony, you kind of blushed through it and everything. And you said, well, I don't know, you know, God gave me $25. Oh, well, God did it, but he did it. And I'm up here going, amen. I'm liking it. The reviving of the army. Hey, the army needs revived, amen. Amen. All right, so your giant called. Now you want to watch him fall. And the last thing is the rejoicing of the people. And you know, victories cause rejoicing. Chapter 18, verse 6, it came to pass as they came when David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. The women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Rejoicing of the people. Everybody rejoices over victories. Tonight we heard about victory. Daryl gave a testimony and he probably thought, nobody really cares. I cared. I heard it earlier from Phyllis. And I watched her eyes light up as she shared it. Seems like a little thing. But I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm glad somebody believes there is a God. I am. I'm always thrilled when somebody sees God do something and they recognize it. I don't care what it is. I used to love it. We'd have testimonies sometimes. We'd go 45 minutes in testimony. Sometimes, you know, they'd all be boring until some little kid stood up and said, I prayed for my turtle and God healed him. I mean, you watch folks, it's kind of like, I get it. I just got it. We can pray. And God can do something. Hey, you tired of your giant? Okay, he's calling. What do you think, Christian? You're so tough. You believe your Bible, do you? Huh? You believe in prayer, really? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you ought to do. When giants call, then giants fall. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.